Whatever Jesus says is important, but it is always instructive as to when he said it and the context of where he said it in order to get the full meaning of what he's trying to get at a given time. And that is certainly the case in what we're going to be looking at today in a very plain and profound teaching that Jesus has about that children are special to Jesus. And so I think the simplicity of that needs to be heard, and as a church, we need to understand just how important that concept is. Children are special to Jesus. They are a special focus of His. He cares about them. And the way we treat them, in large measure, is also the way in which we treat Him. So it is not peripheral to our life how we treat children and how we value children and what we do with our children in relationship to bringing them to faith in Christ. It is the core of who and what we are as believers. And Jesus makes that very clear in this experience today. So we're going to look at a couple of passages. The first one is in Luke, I think. Luke 18, 15 through 17. Now, when this happens is in the second half of Jesus' ministry. It's getting close to the time when he goes to Jerusalem and is betrayed and is flayed and is nailed to a cross and is buried and rises again. It's getting very close to the end of his ministry, very close to the summation of it. And so things that happen in this particular period are points of tremendous focus, and the Holy Spirit brought it back to mind to those who were writing these things down just a few years after they happened so that we would have a remembrance and an accurate historical record of what Jesus actually did. That's what the Gospels are. They are the account that the Holy Spirit wants us to have of Jesus' life and ministry, those things which are pertinent to teach us the central focus of why Jesus came. And in this particular incident, mothers were bringing their little babies to Jesus, and he was blessing them. He was touching them. And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. He began to rebuke those moms. Don't be bothering the teacher with that. He's not here to do that. He's not a nursery worker. And Jesus called for these guys and said, "Hey guys, knock it off. Stop that. I have something to teach you here. Permit the children to come to me. Don't you disciples dare stop the children from coming to me. Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." This is where you get into the kingdom of God, is with the attitude of a child. So if that's what it takes to get into the kingdom of God, the most logical time to come to saving faith in Christ and enter into the kingdom of God is when you're a child. And that's quite frankly when most people are saved. That's when most people find Jesus, is as children. And he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." You don't come to God and make any kind of big adult deal. You come to God like a child. You come to God the way children come to us. You know, mommy, daddy, and they make a request. And we either grant it or we don't. That's the way we come to Christ. We come to Christ with that simple request: forgive my sins, give me eternal life, and I take it just like a child. I don't earn it. I can't. A child can't earn anything. Children are helpless in that regard. They are too small to be productive in that sense. They are potential, but they are not yet able to carry out anything other than just the exuberance and the joy and the wonder we have in watching them grow up and in loving them back as they love us. The one gift they have to give is love and trust. That's how children come to Jesus. Children, if presented the gospel automatically have a desire to come to Jesus. It's not hard for them to believe it, and to receive it, because at that particular point, their hearts are still tender. They haven't been crushed yet by the cruelty and awfulness that sin brings into their lives. And so Jesus gives us a principle here. If you want to get in, you better get humble. If you want to get in, you better come like a kid, come like a child, because that's the only way you're getting in. You're not coming in as an adult hotshot. You're coming in as a kid. You're coming in that childlike, simple, guileless way. Quit making it hard. Quit making it hard. Just receive it. Quit analyzing it to death. Quit making deals with me. Knock it off. Come like a child. Or you're not getting in. Is that clear? You come that way or you don't get in at all. A second passage in Matthew, again, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, Jesus has repeatedly for months now been telling them that he's about to go to Jerusalem, he's about to be betrayed, he is about to be beaten and crucified and rise from the dead on the third day. He's been telling them this for months, and it's going pew, over their head. They're not getting it. They're still thinking, well, you know, that's just another one of those parables, and he'll explain it later. And they're not getting it. They, you know, and they're all still thinking, we're going to be in the cabinet. I'm going to be the Secretary of War, and you get to be the Secretary of the Treasury, and you get to be the Secretary of HUD, and you get to be the Secretary of this and that. And they think they're about to cash in. Jesus is going to be King of Kings. All the promises about the Jewish nation being the head of all the nations, and all of that, which will be fulfilled in the kingdom age, which I don't have time to go into today, but that's a study all of its own, is all going to happen. And Jesus made some promises to them about their roles in that kingdom. But they don't get it as to where they exactly are in God's timetable. And so they say, hey, well, Lord, you know, come on, we've been discussing this. Who's the greatest? Now, by that who's going to have the highest position? Who's going to be sitting next to you on this side? And who's going to be sitting next to you on this side? And Jesus said, guys, he called a child to himself and set him before them. He said, hey, bring this kid in here. And he set them right there, this little kid. And he said, unless you are converted, that is, change your mind about your hotshot attitude, unless you change your mind, unless you're converted, and become like children. Now, that doesn't mean to be childish, but to become childlike in your trust and your simplicity in your walk with God. Unless you do that, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going in. You got it? You come simply trusting. That's what we're talking about here. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. The way you relate to children and minister to children is a pretty good indicator of what you think about me. The importance that you attach to seeing to it that children come to know Christ at an early age, because quite frankly, folks, if they in this culture don't get to know Christ at an early age, they may not get to know Him at all, because by the time they are young adults, they're already scalded and scarred. Years ago, Paul Harvey said something really profound. He said, well, people are always saying to Christian parents, you're sheltering your child. You're sheltering your child by, you know, having these rules and protections and all this stuff for them. That's not the real world. He said, no, folks, just the opposite is true. If you don't raise your children with those protections and bringing them to Jesus Christ, those are the ones that are sheltered, because you're being sheltered from the reality of the wrath of God. Folks, they shoot real bullets out there. I'm not speaking euphemistically. They shoot real bullets out there. And without Christ, they perish. The sheltered child is the child that is kept from Jesus. And Jesus said, your attitude toward allowing children to freely come to me, and as an individual, as a person, as a culture, you prevent kids from finding out about Jesus? That is serious stuff. I don't want to be negative, but folks, we're in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble. Listen to what Jesus said. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, where Jesus said this, it was probably near the Lake of Galilee. It's a beautiful lake, about 18 miles long and about 12 miles wide. It's shaped like a harp. That's another name for it. It's harp, Cinnereth. It's a deep lake. It's about 150 feet below sea level because you're part of the Jordan Rift there. You think you're in the mountains, but you're not. And right nearby where he was speaking, there would be a donkey dragging a 2-ton stone around, grinding grain. He said, now, folks, if you prevent a child, or if you cause a child who believes in me to stumble, to fall into sin, to reject his walk with me, you'd be better off if you just went and got somebody to get that rock, get that big stone, and load it in the cart and haul it over here to the lake, tie a rope around your neck, put it in a boat, haul you out to the middle and drop you off in 50 feet of water. Just go ahead and do that because you'd be better off than to continue doing what you're doing. Now, folks, Jesus doesn't say things just to say things. It's kind of like an old John Wayne movie. He does not make any threats. He makes promises. You know, old John Wayne would make a somebody would say something and he'd tell some old boy to stop doing something or whatever. And the guy said, are you threatening me? And John Wayne would flatten him out and say, no, wrong word, promise. Okay? That's what you're getting here, folks. Promise. Now, we live in a child-hating culture. We're a little bit schizophrenic. There's an element of in our culture that is child-valuing. But there's an element in our culture that is child-hating. Else we wouldn't be killing them before they're even born. We live in a culture that wages war on children, and the primary tool it uses is keeping them from Jesus, keeping them from the truth. And it is devastating to our nation, and it is worldwide. The Bible is very clear about a final judgment, and that final judgment will engulf the whole world. Let me tell you something. You want to miss it. And you can miss it if you'll put your faith in Christ. But if you don't, when that judgment comes, you read the book of Revelation, literally. Just read it as simple literal literature. You read that, what is about to come is the wrath of God. But the wrath of God is already revealed. In the consequences that come when a culture walks away from Christ. The devastation. Nick was just telling us today. What used to happen when we were in high school, what used to happen in college, then became what happens in high school. Now it's in junior high where kids are exposed to all kinds of stuff that they're not ready to handle. Well, quite frankly, we're not ever ready to handle that stuff. And we live in a culture that is out to destroy people by keeping them from Jesus. Now, we have a task as a church to bring them to Jesus. And one of the gifts that we have is to create a structure within our body life, in our personal family life, to teach our children about Jesus and to model it in front of them. But also in our corporate life as a body in Christ, as a church, to have opportunities like Sunday school, vacation, Bible school, children's camp, whatever you've got, to bring them, to teach them about Jesus. And it is very, very powerful. My father became a Christian because of a Sunday school teacher. Some of the great evangelists of the last 200 years, like Dwight of D.L. Moody, became a Christian through the witness of his Sunday school teacher. as children. D.L. Moody, before he became a great worldwide evangelist, had a street ministry to children. He had the first bus ministry. He would get a wagon and go around and round up kids and take them to church on Sunday morning, and where he would teach them about Jesus. He had a special Saturday night service just for children where he would teach them about Jesus. Years ago, Betty Sue's mother kept telling her that she had, that she was a descendant of a guy named Eaton. Her mother was an Eaton, E-A-T-O-N. And her mother said, well, there's a plaque about one of our ancestors in the Old North Church. You know, the Old North Church, one if by land, two if by sea, that kind of thing. And she said, if you ever get to Boston, you ought to go in there and look that thing up. And she said, okay. So we didn't know that our daughter and son-in-law would spend 5.5 years in Boston while he went to MIT and she finished up her college and her master's degree. But we went to Boston and we did the Freedom Trail and we ended up in the Old North Church. We got in there and we said, hey, we want to look for this plaque for Asa Eaton. Now, I thought Mr. Eaton was probably some old whale blubber guy and had donated a window or something. You know, maybe there's a little window there. No, it was a big plaque and it had Reverend Asa Eaton. And this guy had started the first Sunday school in New England. He had 900 children in it. Where did he put them? I mean, it's not a very big place. How did he do it? It's unbelievable. I just got goosebumps thinking, my word, what a legacy that is to, you know, coming down to us, through us. And whenever we pass this on through our children and into the life of other children, it is a blessing unto God. He who receives these little kids and brings them to me receives me, Jesus said. There's a special blessing in it for us. Years ago, a group of theologians were gathered at the home of Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian. And they asked Dr. Barth, they said, Dr. Barth, if you could summarize Christianity, how would you summarize it? He said, well, fellas, I would summarize it in a song my mother used to sing to me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, folks, it's no more difficult than that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And when we reach little ones, and sometimes little ones are grown-up people whose wounded spirits have left them children, when we reach these with the simple gospel that Jesus loves them because the Bible says so, we change eternity. We're in the eternity business. So, do not despise the small things, the innocent things, the little things. A number of years ago, I heard this testimony. There was one of the great leading pastors of Dallas had been visiting in a hospital, and there was an old preacher there that was at death's door. And he was talking to this guy and saying, my life's a failure. I never amounted to much in the ministry, and I didn't see that many people saved. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I've done anything much for the Lord. Later that week, the pastor was having lunch with the then newly called to the First Baptist Church of Dallas, their pastor, W.A. Criswell, who pastored that church for over 4 decades. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived. One thousands of people to Christ. And he was telling Dr. Criswell about that old man. And Dr. Criswell began to cry. And he said, that old man led me to Jesus. He doesn't remember it. He came to my church in Amarillo, and he stayed in our home. And at night we would sit and he would eat cornbread in buttermilk. Now those of you that are from the north don't know what a wonderful feast that is, but he was eating cornbread and buttermilk. And talk to me about Jesus. And during that meeting, they had two converts. One, an adult, was saved. And adult converts are extremely important. And then the other one was this little boy, W.A. Criswell. The guy said, I feel God calling me to preach. He preached one sermon. He did such a miserable job of it, he quit. Criswell, of course, went on to become a man who won thousands, maybe millions, to Christ through his ministry. When you win a child, you win, you invest in a lifetime of potential. So, when we're looking around our church for things to do, the place we start is in this area right there of bringing little ones, young people to Christ, and to provide them the tools they need to live in this world where they shoot real bullets, but there's an eternal life to be had in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in simple childlike faith, that we can just open up our hearts like a child does and invite Jesus in and be saved. Many of us, maybe most of us in this room who believe in Jesus, came that way as children, either at home or in a Sunday school or in a church setting or in a camp setting. We came to Christ that way. I pray if there's one here today who's never trusted in Christ, that they would not make it difficult, but just like a child would come and say, Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose from the dead, and you want to give me eternal life. I trust you right now to give me that gift. That person would come and in childlike acceptance receive this gift. No strings attached, just receive it. And let you move into their heart and transform their lives. I pray if there's an adult that was wounded as a child, someone did not protect them spiritually, that adult could come as a child right now in their heart and say, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, renew me. Put me back together. Mature me with your freshness and your spirit. Perhaps there's a believer that's weary, thinking, this doesn't do any good. I'm tired of sowing seed and not seeing a harvest. Encourage that believer to say, no, there's always a fulfillment of your word and your promise. If we are faithful, you are more faithful to bless that which we give in your name in service. Father, thank you for this, and bless this time now when we call people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.